Good evening and welcome to this special edition of Making a Connection here on KRCB. I'm News Director Bruce Robinson, and for the next half hour, we'll be talking with the two remaining candidates for the 5th District seat on the Sonoma County Board of Supervisors. First, I want to remind you this is the first of four of these election specials that KRCB will present on successive Thursday nights. We'll continue next week with the 1st District Supervisor candidates, followed by the 3rd District on the 25th and an in-studio debate on Measure Q, the Smart Train ballot measure, on October 2nd. But in the here and now, I'd like to welcome candidates Rue Furch and Efren Carrillo to the KRCB studios. Thank you both for being here tonight.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Bruce, for the opportunity.
Now, as I noted, you're the last two standing after a primary that had eight candidates to begin with, so congratulations for getting this far. Since we've all been through that first stage and have a limited amount of time here tonight, and in recognition, of course, of the astute and informed KRCB listenership, I think we can forego the usual biographical recap and turn our attention to some key issues right off. So the biggest problem, kind of a political hot potato, that the Board of Supervisors has been wrestling with lately is the question of the retirement benefits for the county workforce. There's a huge bill coming due in terms of time of ever-diminishing resources, and yet these people have some expectations that the county will make good on commitments to them. So, Rue, let me ask you first, how will you resolve these competing needs?
Well, I expect that some of them will be resolved before I take office.
But just in case.
Just in case, the department heads actually have made recommendations. The existing department heads have made recommendations to alternatives. And I know that if the county would go back to the table and have public conversations about those alternatives that have not been at least publicly explored, I think it would make a huge difference to the workers.
In terms of beyond process, what about those alternatives? Is there one that you are particularly in favor of?
The alternatives actually haven't been made public, and so I'm just aware that there were some alternatives. Rod Dole presented one, and there was a letter from four of the department heads recommending that the Board of Supervisors review those alternatives. In fairness, it seems like one of the things that could be investigated was the notion of being more level-handed with the cut so that it wasn't just hit one workforce, the retired people who have put in their time and had expectations about their retirement benefits and made plans based on what the county had promised.
So, Efren, you've been watching this play out. Do you think the county has been treating people fairly, or should they be doing something different?
Well, Bruce, to start out with the issue, I think that this is an issue that's going to be with us for the long term. As far as decreasing revenues coming into the county and increasing expenses that we see in providing the services that the constituents so deserve. So it's not an issue that's going to be forgotten with the current Board of Supervisors, but an issue that future supervisors are going to be dealing with. And what I propose is that everyone's going to have to give a little to find solutions. As far as, first of all, funding retiree health care benefits, and second of all, how we treat our current employees. What we need from a supervisor is someone who's going to go in there with leadership, maintain the ability of employees to still be engaged, to want to participate, and also work with department heads to find solutions to this fiscal crisis. It's not a crisis that is going to be finished off with the current supervisors, but if
we should be so lucky.
It's going to be an issue that's going to be forthcoming. And I mean, one of the things I'd like to ask Rue is Mike Riley voted for the plan to cut retiree health care benefits, and I want to ask her where she finds him at fault, if she would have done it otherwise.
What about you? Would you have voted for it?
Excuse me?
Would you have voted for it?
Voted for
the if you're questioning Mike's vote, what would you have done?
I would have looked at the issue very carefully. There may have been some alternatives that the current board wasn't looking at, but we do have an issue here locally that we have to solve. We have a $414 million unfunded liability over the next 30 years. Those are the projections. We cannot be cutting services that people need for mental health, that people need for child care, that people need for transportation, as far as finding a solution. So what I have voted, that there may have been an opportunity to vote on that issue for me. Knowing the data, I may have voted for it.
Rue, do you want to answer that?
Certainly. I think I said what I would have preferred to do, which was to look at the alternatives that had been recommended by the department heads in a more public setting, and then had that conversation. Supervisor Riley has a mind of his own, as most of our supporters do, and you know, I wouldn't begin to second guess what he's going to do and what he may know that isn't available to the public.
The next Board of Supervisors is also going to have to confront the overcrowded Sonoma County Jail and either commit tens of millions of dollars to building additional capacity or come up with some alternatives. So let me ask you first, Efren, what path do you favor in dealing with the burgeoning jail population?
You know, the path that I favor is we have to be looking at the public safety issue at the forefront. We cannot keep on increasing jail capacity in cells. That doesn't help solve the issue. We have a public safety issue. We have to give our kids an opportunity to go to school. We have to give our kids an opportunity for after-school programs. We have to find solutions to defer from sending people to jail. I mean, here in the United States, we are the industrialized nation that sends the most people into incarceration. Something's not right here. That is not the end-all solution.
When you look upstream, are there particular sorts of intervention that you would be most interested in pursuing?
I'd like to see some intervention for specifically in areas for Latino youth, allow them opportunities to play sports, allow them opportunities to be engaged in arts, in conservation efforts. One of the things that strikes me is an oddity here in this county that's very environmentally forward-thinking is that we don't have a youth conservation corps to give our kids an ability to engage in creek restoration or really participate and be one with nature. I think there's an ability to find a lot of the kids that quite aren't making it and give them an opportunity, one, to learn about the environment, two, to have a job, and three, not be engaged in mischievous activities.
And there's a role for the county in creating all of this?
There's definitely a role for the county. There's an ability to fund certain projects that are going to cost us less now versus if we wait and fund projects once we're looking at incarceration.
Back to the starting point, Rue, we were talking about the jail, the projections that a new one is needed a couple of years ago and they haven't built it yet. What now? What's the best way to address this need?
Well, the county actually has commissioned a study on the future of the jail and services that should be provided. There are a number of things that would lead the county to believe that they have an overcrowded jail. But I think if you look at the makeup of the population of the jail, you will find, as was reported in the study, that a lot of Latinos in disproportionate numbers are in that jail. And I think that what we need to do is really begin to look at the way the arrests are made and brought into the jail. Also, there's a mental health element in the jail, which I think should be managed elsewhere. Policemen are not trained to deal with mental health problems. In terms of prevention, which I think is critical to all of this, I think we need to work closely with the schools, with the nonprofits, with the agencies that provide those intervention services early and that deal with sort of the ounce of prevention model rather than the pound of cure, because that's what's happening statewide and we really need to address that differently. And the county certainly has a role in all of that. And I think that the analysis that was commissioned by the county demonstrates that and looks at some other alternatives.
If you're just joining us, this is Making the Connection with an election special here on KRCB. I'm Bruce Robinson, talking with the two candidates for the West County seat on the Board of Supervisors, Rue Furch and Efren Carrillo. Healthcare is another simple little question that'll land on the desk of the new supervisor. Sutter Healthcare seems to be counting down the months until they can walk away from the old hospital, and Palm Drive is fighting to keep its head above water fiscally. We're not finding new nurses. The number of doctors is shrinking. So what are the most important things the county can and should do to shore up the medical safety net for its residents? Efren, I'll let you take the first crack at that.
Well, you know, I have firsthand experience as past president and on the board of director for the Southwest Community Health Center. We serve about 17,000 people that are uninsured here in this county. We have a wait list of between 500 and 600 people. We have a healthcare crisis nationally, healthcare crisis statewide, and particularly, we do have a healthcare crisis here at the county level. This current Board of Supervisors has now implemented Health Action Council here locally. I think that's the beginning of how we need to be working together. We need to start thinking of models around a medical home where we just don't go for preventative care, but we go for education. We streamline primary care with behavioral health. There's an opportunity for those stakeholders in healthcare to start talking to one another. Our district hospitals, our community clinics are playing a critical role, our district hospitals, and our St. Joseph's, Sutter's, and Kaiser's. We all have a stake in it, and we all have to participate. When we're looking at the cost of healthcare, emergency costs are the most expensive costs that we see in the industry. We have to look at nutrition, preventative care, exercise, and we have to start looking at those things early on. One of the biggest issues affecting the Latino, and particularly the Latino community, is high cholesterol, obesity, and diabetes. We have to start involving our schools, involving our children, and involving our families into preventative health care as a model rather than as a reaction.
Healthcare in Sonoma County has been a headache for the Board of Supervisors for a long time. Where do you start to try to unravel it and make it work better, Rue?
Well, it's a huge issue, as is said, even nationally, and I hope that with the new administration at the national level, we will have single-payer health care, which will make an enormous difference to all of us. But in the meantime, the county has a responsibility, certainly morally, if not by contract, to provide health care services to all of our constituents. Everybody in the Sonoma County deserves good medical care. So the kinds of things that the county can do are to hold Sutter's feet to the fire, make absolutely sure that they live up to the contract and that they not be allowed to move on prior to the end of that contract, and see if there aren't ways to work with Sutter in order to make sure that all of the community members are served appropriately. We also need to work with Kaiser. Kaiser doesn't now provide emergency care to people who are not insured, and we need to see if there aren't ways that we can encourage them to do that. The county can certainly serve as a advocate and bully pulpit for the joint powers agreement between and among all of the hospitals and clinics so that those are networked and they become the safety net. One of the issues in Western Sonoma County is that it is really critically important in emergency circumstances to be no more than 10 to 15 minutes away from service. If you have an accident one way or another, you really need to be able to access that medical emergency service. So retaining our clinics and especially our outlying hospitals is going to be really, really important. And the county just recently gave a bridge loan to Palm Drive for $3 million. We need to make sure that that is not the only support that the county provides for them. But it is our responsibility to make sure that we provide service for all of them. There is a program that is happening throughout the state that's called Healthy by Design, and it looks at the ways that we design communities in order to make them more appropriate to a healthy lifestyle. There's the walkability issue, so to make sure that people can walk to their neighborhood market or there are places that are safe and healthy to walk. You make sure that there are markets that are nearby that have healthy food. They're not just the drive-thrus. There are lots of things that can be designed into a community to make sure that all the community of all cultures are maintained for a more healthy lifestyle. And that's kind of where the prevention begins, is you begin with people living a more healthy lifestyle.
These are good long-term strategies, but the clock is ticking on Sutter. What happens in 10-12 here, or 2012 when it goes away?
That's why we have to do things in the intervening years. We must make sure that our smaller hospitals are retained, that we keep them healthy. We need to work with Kaiser. Those things that I said before, those are the sorts of things that we have to make sure that in the next 2 years we have fully operational and backstopped the potential loss of Sutter. And in the meantime, we need to keep Sutter's feet to the fire.
Efren, your prescription for a major hospital closing its doors in the county?
You know, one of the things that's happening in the local healthcare community is that we're not talking to one another. We're doing individual things in a different level. And I think as a supervisor, one of the immediate things that I would do is I would bring the stakeholders to community hospitals, district hospitals, community clinics, the Sutters, the St. Joseph's, and the Kaisers in the same room to discuss how we can implement short-term solutions to the issue and long-term solutions to healthcare, to delivering healthcare here in the county.
Those entities are meeting together.
Well, I've been speaking with leaders in the healthcare industry, and it's my understanding that the communication as it stands is not working. And I would look forward to brokering that and sparking that dialogue to make sure that we're taking care of the people here in the county.
Okay, I want to take things in a little bit of a different direction here now. Rue, you've been seen for a long time, I guess, as a strong environmental vote on the Planning Commission, which has at times aggravated some members in the local business community. So what would you say to them about your priorities when economic expansion and environmental preservation bump up against each other?
I don't find that there's any reason to believe that a strong environmentalist couldn't be a strong advocate for a strong economy. The economy and the environment are very often closely tied. To have a healthy river for the fish is also a healthy economic tourism business for those downstream. Most of the time, it's not either or.
And Efren, the popular perception kind of inverts this question for you. As someone from the finance industry, you're seen as having closer ties to the county's business leaders, which can make the green segment of the district uneasy. How do you answer those concerns?
Well, just to talk a little bit about my qualifications, I do have a academic experience with an environmental studies degree from Berkeley. I work locally for the Business Environmental Alliance, helping our local businesses green themselves and still be profitable here in this local economy. Rue and I agree in this issue that environmental interests and local economic interests do and can work together, and we agree on that with that perception.
The one thing that is probably the dominant physical feature of the 5th District is the Russian River that flows from one side to the other. And it's been in the news in a variety of ways, from the flow levels to the proposed wastewater discharges. What do you see, let me ask you first, as the biggest issue involving the river, and what do you want to do about it? Pick one.
It's really pick one. If you think about the Russian, you can start all the way up in Mendocino County and come right on down, and every stretch has an issue, and every issue reaches into the other issues. So I don't think there's one. What you want, I think, in terms of the Russian is to make sure that it stays sustainable, that the water quality is good, that there's enough flow for both the fish and the economy, and that basically all the issues that deal with the Russian make sure that in the, in the next 20, 50, 100 years, it's still a healthy river system. I mean, you have to think of the Russian as a system. But I think there are some other really important features of western Sonoma County, like the coast and the...
And the redwoods.
kind of go on and on.
Yeah, this is probably just the most conspicuous one in some respects. Efren, the river issues from gravel to fish to water quality, where is your concern highest?
Well, my concern, again, is in maintaining the health of the river, of the tributaries, of the estuaries. It all falls under the same umbrella. We have to take care of our natural resources. The river is not just a natural resource. It's an economic resource, and particularly around the Guerneville and Monterio areas. We have to take care of it for the fish, and we have to take care of it for the people. And there's a unique opportunity to find instances where we can conserve and maintain flows that are adequate for our fish and adequate for tourism, as well as take out operations that have been hampering our river for a long time.
How much is the county at the mercy of outside forces in determining some of these issues, whether it's environmental endangered species or water flow set by the Corps of Engineers? How much can a county and the Board of Supervisors assert control over their own destiny and the river's destiny?
Well, I mean, I think Rue would agree with me that the Board of Supervisors play a critical role in, at the very least, being an advocate. Yes, we have the Endangered Species Act. Yes, we have the California Environmental Quality Act and NIMFS and a variety of different agencies that participate in that well-being. But the Board of Supervisors, and particularly 5th District, has got to be the advocate for the river.
Where does the state and the feds leave the county in your view, Rue?
Where do they leave the county? Oh.
with regard to the river.
Well, downstream.
Going with the flow, as it were.
Yeah, as it were. The agencies that control much of the policy that affects the Russian River have been at it for a really long time. And the change in administration is probably going to change some of the agencies' perception on what their authority and control is. There are many, many influences, all the way from the public utilities via PG&E at the dam, all the way, you know, locally to the North Coast Water Quality Control Board and NIMS, as you say, and the biological opinion is due out in the next few weeks. So we will be affected by what happens at the state and federal level, but what we must do as citizens and as supervisors is work with those agencies to help them understand that there is a balance of needs. And I believe that those people that I worked with historically do understand that there needs to be some accommodation to both needs, to all the needs, and I think that we can come to terms with those sorts of things. It's just always a struggle. But having my relationship with some of the people at the state and federal level, and our representatives at the state and federal levels are really, really receptive to taking care of all the needs of Sonoma County, and I think we can get them to work with us.
One of the needs of Sonoma County that we talked about at some length way back in the primary season was the roads and the amount of county road that requires attention. 5th District, being the largest of the five, has the most roads to deal with, and obviously priorities need to be set. Do you involve yourself as a supervisor with that sort of that level of minutia, or is it a question of just trying to extract budget funds for the overall road needs in the county? How do you address that need, Rue?
Well, there are some things that I think we have missed as opportunities at the county relative to the 5th District roads, but in general to Sonoma County. The Sonoma County's roads are rated by the Transportation Authority as 41st out of 100 in the Bay Area, in the nine Bay Area counties. And the 5th District has some of the worst roads anywhere. What we're missing is, of course, the attention to the 5th District roads. But the other reality is that Measure M funds have been designated for road maintenance, and they haven't been spent there. So it'll be my job to make sure that those funds are spent on potholes and reconstructing reaches of roads where, they've just been damaged because they were created almost for horse and buggies. They don't have any underlayment, and the pavement's pitiful, and so every time it rains, the asphalt falls out of the top. As you know, you've probably lost a tire or two down there. So I want to go after those Measure M allocations, and I also know that some of those funds will be diverted back to road maintenance if SMART passes. So as soon as we get SMART through, we will then be able to have access to those funds that have been temporarily diverted to the SMART rail.
Efren, roads in the West County, where do you start?
Well, let's be optimistic. It's when SMART passes in November.
I sense an agreement on an issue.
Yes,
here.
There's an agreement on that issue, definitely. When we think about roads and transportation, we have to think globally. We have to think as far as maintaining the infrastructure of our 1,400 plus unincorporated roads here in the county, but we also have to think of ways of taking people off their cars, increasing bike pathways, pedestrian pathways. We have to find an ability to get our roads off our street, not just for maintenance of our roads, but to also reduce greenhouse gases that we see here locally. 60% of our greenhouse gases come from the tailpipe here in the county. There's an ability to do two things: help the environment and help our infrastructure. Rue hit it right on the dot as far as fixing our infrastructure and potholes when it happens. The longer we wait, the more costly it gets. On the other hand, there are a variety of different funding mechanisms that we have to balance. Roads versus mental health services versus public safety. And it really does need a broad-based approach as far as how we move forward as a county.
We've got just a couple of minutes left, and so in that time, we've had some agreement on various issues here. Let me ask you each how you would most markedly distinguish yourself from each other for the voter's mind. Where do you diverge in your views the most? What's the biggest difference, Zephyrin?
Well, I bring, you know, a fresh perspective, a different type of energy here as far as moving this county forward. In the county strategic plan, two of the biggest issues that came up: we have an aging population and we have a growing youth Latino population. There are pockets of the community that need a voice, that need leadership, and I help provide that. Additionally, integrity, values, and accountability is very important in how we run our government, and I intend to bring those ethics and values as a leader and as a supervisor. We need people to have jobs here locally so that they can participate, so that they can offer and be a part of the fabric that makes our community, and so that they can pay their taxes, for which the government is going to, you know, run and provide services. There's an ability there to really work together and work cohesively, and that's what I bring. I want to be someone who unifies the entire county in moving forward.
And Ruth Hirsch, how do you distinguish yourself from your opponent in the minds of the voters in this election?
Well, for 38 years, I've been a participant as a citizen in this community, everything from site councils to working as a volunteer on the Planning Commission. So I know the workings of the county, the good parts and the bad parts. This is not an entry-level position, and so I feel that my experience will help. I also do know how to work with the agencies and different entities within the county, and I've worked a lot with our local nonprofits, and since there'll be a lot of leaning on public-private partnerships in the coming years, given the budget restraints, I think those will be a tremendous advantage. I care passionately about the community, and I love this area. My grandchildren are raised here, and as were my children, and so my commitment to the community really, really is total and heartfelt. My experience on the Planning Commission, I think to some extent, will be helpful. I know the language. I know the staff really well. And so for many years, I have been able to bring people together from across the county, which is why I have the support of people in all five districts, is because I've been their voice when they had no other.
And that about does it for our time this evening. I want to thank you both, Ruth Hirsch, Zephyrin Carrillo, for taking this time to let our listeners learn more about you and your views. So thank you for being here.
Thank you, Bruce.
I'd also like to remind everyone that at this same time next week, KRCB will broadcast another election special with the two supervisor candidates from the 1st District, Valerie Brown and Will Pierre. So you can tune in for that at 6:30 next Thursday, September 18th. This evening's program has been recorded, both audio and videotaped, and will be posted on the elections page on the KRCB website. So if you know someone who couldn't listen to our broadcast, or if you joined us in progress and like to go back and find out what you missed, it'll all be posted on the elections page at krcb.org. This has been a production of KRCB News. I'm Bruce Robinson. Thank you very much for listening, and good night.